Welcome to your deep dive. Today, we're going back in time to ancient Greece, but no need to dust off those togas.
Yeah, we're keeping it comfy for this one.
Exactly. We're tackling a topic that's as old as time itself. Gossip.
Juicy, isn't it?
You know it. But we're not just wading in the shallow end of celebrity gossip here. We're diving deep with a philosopher who wanted to clean up Athenian conversations.
Oh, yeah. This is about to get philosophical.
You've got it. We're talking about Socrates and his famous triple filter test.
That's right. And we're lucky to have some excerpts from a book about it, Socrates and the Triple Filter Test, to guide us.
Perfect. So imagine ancient Athens. The marketplace is buzzing, sandals are slapping on stone streets.
And everyone's got something to say about someone, right?
Exactly. It's like Twitter in a toga. But this book paints ancient Athens as more than just a gossip hotbed. It was a place where ideas mattered, where philosophy thrived.
Oh, absolutely. And what's fascinating is how the book contrasts this love for gossip with a thirst for knowledge.
Okay, so it wasn't all just chit-chat and sandals.
Not at all. This is where Socrates comes in.
Our filter-loving friend.
Well, the book actually portrays him as more of a truth seeker than a gossip police officer.
So not about silencing people, but about making those words mean something.
Got it. The book really emphasizes that Socrates was passionate about critical thinking. He wanted people to question, to dig deeper. But this constant gossip, let's just say it got under his skin.
I can relate. It's like, come on, Athens, you're capable of more than just who's wearing what toga.
Right. And that's why he came up with the triple filter test, which, if you think about it, is still so relevant today.
Okay, break it down for me. How do you filter out the noise and get to the good stuff?
It's deceptively simple. Truth, goodness, and usefulness.
Truth, goodness, usefulness. I like it. It's catchy, memorable.
Exactly. And the book explains how Socrates encouraged people to ask themselves, is this true? Is it kind? Is it helpful? Before they shared anything.
So it's less about shutting down conversation and more about making us more mindful about what we say.
Exactly. He was prompting this self-reflection, this internal pause button, which, let's face it, we could all use a little more of.
So how did this whole triple filter test land with the Athenians? Did they embrace it?
Well, that's where things get really interesting. The book doesn't shy away from the fact that not everyone was thrilled with Socrates' new way of thinking.
Oh, I bet. Imagine trying to tell a juicy story in the marketplace and someone hits you with the triple filter test.
You're telling me. But there are some great anecdotes in the book that show how Socrates, through those questions, really did manage to elevate those Athenian conversations.
Okay, I'm hooked. Give me an example. How did this philosophy play out in real life?
All right, picture this. Demetrius and Xanthi, a couple on the verge of divorce, ready to toss their sandals at each other.
Talk about a drama fit for the Acropolis.
Right. But then Socrates, being the philosophical rock star he is, steps in and, using the truth filter, helps them see that their issues weren't what they thought.
Miscommunication strikes again. A tale as old as time.
Exactly. And this is where the book gets really insightful. It shows that a lot of arguments, even back then, stemmed from misunderstandings, assumptions.
It's amazing how relevant that still is. We might not be arguing over chariot racing anymore, but those communication breakdowns still tripping us up.
Truth. And the book doesn't just focus on these serious moments. There's a hilarious bit about a guy named Nikos, a total gossip, who challenges Socrates publicly.
Oh, no, I can already sense this isn't going to end well for him. Public debate with Socrates, that's a bold move.
You said it. The book describes how Nikos, full of swagger, starts spinning this elaborate tale, and Socrates, calm as you like, just starts peppering him with those three little questions.
Truth, goodness, usefulness. Not so fun when you're on the receiving end, right?
Tell me about it, the poor guy. Each question chipped away at his story until it was clear to everyone. Nikos was talking out of his dotoga.
Ouch. Public humiliation, Athenian style. But hey, maybe it was a wake-up call he needed. A little philosophical tough love.
Perhaps. It does make you wonder, though, did anyone fully buy into this triple filter test? Like, were there any true converts?
Oh, absolutely. And this is where the book gets really fun.
Okay, don't leave me hanging. What kind of fun are we talking about? Chariot races. Olympic gossip.
Get this. The Athenians loved this triple filter test so much, they turned it into a competition. They called it the Triple Filter Olympics.
Wait, seriously? An Olympic sport for ethical gossiping? That's amazing. What, did they get laurel wreaths for being the most truthful?
I know, right? It sounds crazy, but the book describes it in such a way that you can practically hear the crowd cheering as these Athenians tried to outdo each other with gossip that was actually Well, good.
I love that. They took this philosophy and made it their own. But, you know, it makes you think, what was it about this test that resonated so much with them?
That is the million drachma question, isn't it? And the book seems to suggest it was a bit of everything. They loved a good challenge, but there was also this genuine desire for something more, something deeper than just the rumor mill. It's like they were craving substance, even in their gossip.
Precisely. And this need for something more meaningful, it wasn't limited to just a few philosophers. It was bubbling up in Athenian society.
Okay, but surely not everyone was on board with filtering their every word. I mean, where's the fun in that?
Exactly. The book introduces us to a group called the Gossip Rebels, led by a charismatic Athenian named Callias.
Oh, I like them already. Tell me they had, like, a secret handshake and a motto. Gossip Rebels spreading rumors since 400 BC.
You're getting close. They're all about freedom of speech, ancient Greece style. They felt Socrates was, you know, sucking the fun out of a good story.
There's always that one friend, right? But the story is so much better when you embellish the details.
Right. And the book actually quotes their motto. Get ready for this. Who needs truth when the story is this good?
Classic. They were the OG truthbenders, weren't they? But how did Socrates handle these rebels? Another public showdown in the Agora? I bet those were legendary.
This is what I love about the book. It shows that Socrates, even when faced with opposition, never resorted to those shouting matches. Instead of a public showdown, he sat down with Callias.
Oh, a philosophical coffee date.
Exactly. And they had this incredible conversation about the power of stories and the importance of truth.
Okay, I'm picturing them now, togas flowing, debating philosophy over cups of watered-down wine. It's giving me major philosophical bromance vibes.
And the best part is, it seems like Socrates won him over. Or at least got him thinking. The book even mentions them sharing a celebratory drink later on.
See, philosophy, friendship, and a little bit of ancient Greek wine. What more could you ask for? But let's be real. Even with the best intentions, trying to filter everything we say can be a recipe for awkward silence.
Oh, totally. I mean, can you imagine trying to navigate a first date with the triple filter test in the back of your mind?
Talk about a conversation killer.
Right. But here's the thing. The book doesn't shy away from those potentially awkward moments. It actually leans into them.
Okay, I'm intrigued. How so?
There's this hilarious scene where two Athenians are trying to have a conversation after the triple filter test is taken off. They're so busy trying to be truthful and kind and useful that they completely clam up.
It's like their brains are short-circuiting from all that filtering. It's the Athenian equivalent of, so how about this weather?
Exactly. It's social satire, ancient Greece style. And it shows that Socrates wasn't trying to create a society of perfectly filtered robots.
Right. He wanted people to be more mindful, sure, but not at the expense of genuine connection.
Exactly. And it wasn't just about Athens, was it? This triple filter test, it started to spread.
Wait, seriously? This wasn't just some Athenian fad. This went viral, ancient Greece style.
Oh, yeah. And get this. Different city-states took those three little filters and ran with them in their own way.
Okay, I need details. Who embraced it? Who resisted? Tell me everything.
Well, the Spartans, known for their practicality, really latched onto the usefulness filter.
Makes sense. What's the point of a story if it doesn't serve a purpose? Classic Spartans, straight to the point. So, where else did this test end up?
The book talks about how the triple filter test made it to Thebes.
The home of Oedipus. Talk about a tragic story.
And a perfect example of why the Thebans might have struggled with the whole truth, goodness, and usefulness thing.
You're saying even the Thebans had their limits when it came to filtering their stories?
It seems like it. They loved their drama, their myths, their larger-than-life tales.
So a tougher crowd for Socrates' message, then.
You could say that. The book describes this sort of love-hate relationship the Thebans had with the triple filter test.
It's like they knew they should maybe filter things a bit more, but couldn't resist a good juicy tale.
Exactly. And who can blame them? A good story is a powerful thing.
Speaking of powerful stories, the book mentions something about Gossip Anonymous.
You're kidding, right? Gossip Anonymous, that's amazing.
I'm serious. It's like they had support groups for oversharers back then.
You're telling me. Can you imagine? Hi, my name is Draco, and I have a gossip problem.
And I thought resisting that second slice of baklava was hard.
Right. But it shows you how much this idea of filtering our words was resonating with people.
Mm-hmm.
They were actively trying to be more mindful, even if it meant attending secret meetings to curb their gossipy impulses.
It's like the ancient Greek version of a self-help group. But hey, if it worked.
It makes you wonder what Socrates would have thought of it all. His simple idea sparking this whole movement.
From the Agora to Gossip Anonymous. The impact of those three little filters. It's pretty remarkable. But let's be real for a minute. Even with the best of intentions trying to filter everything we say, it can lead to some pretty awkward silences.
Oh, absolutely. The book paints this hilarious picture of Athenian social life after the triple filter test catches on. It's like everyone's walking on eggshells, terrified of saying the wrong thing.
So instead of the lively debates and juicy gossip, it's just dot crickets.
Not exactly crickets, but definitely a noticeable shift. There's this one scene where two people are just standing there staring at each other, mouths opening and closing, but no words coming out.
It's like their brains are stuck on the triple filter test loading screen.
Exactly. And it's such a good reminder that even with the best intentions, things don't always go smoothly. Communication, it's messy.
But even with those awkward moments, the book seems to suggest that the triple filter test did have a positive impact overall. People were thinking more carefully about their words, and that's got to count for something, right?
I think so. It's like anything else in life, it takes practice to find that balance.
Yeah.
But it's the trying that matters.
So true. But what about Socrates himself? Was he this perfectly filtered philosopher always saying the right thing at the right time?
Okay, this is where the book gets really clever.
Oh, I love it when a book surprises you. What happens? Does Socrates go on a gossip bender?
Not quite. But there is this wonderfully ironic scene where he's trying to tell a story about falling off a horse.
Wait a minute, Socrates. Falling off a horse. Now that's a story I need to hear.
Right. It's not exactly the image that comes to mind when you think great philosopher, is it?
Not quite. Did he at least land on his feet, philosophically speaking, of course?
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. His student Eubulos catches him off guard.
Oh, no. Eubulos, the triple filter test enforcer. This can't be good.
He starts grilling Socrates with the three questions. Is this true? Is it kind? Is it useful?
I bet Socrates was thinking, not my own student using my philosophical creation against me.
You've got it. And of course, the story fails the test miserably. It's completely useless. Just a funny anecdote. But Socrates being Socrates, he takes it in stride. He's left speechless for grunts, completely humbled by his own creation.
That's amazing. It makes you realize even the wisest among us, they're human too. They make mistakes, they tell silly stories, and they sometimes forget to filter their own words. Strangely reassuring.
Totally. It makes you wonder, though, did those close to Socrates, did they ever tire of this constant filtering? Like, enough with the truth and usefulness already. Can't we just enjoy a good story?
That is a great question. And the book actually touches on that a bit. There's this whole section on Plato.
Socrates' most famous student. Everyone's heard of Plato. What about him?
Well, the book kind of hints that Plato, while obviously brilliant, sometimes found Socrates' constant questioning a bit much.
Oh, I can see it now. Socrates, for the love of Zeus, it's just a story.
Exactly. There's this great line I think I even wrote down. Plato says something like, sometimes Socrates, a good story is just a good story. No need to dissect it like a frog in the academy. You know, it's a good reminder that even those who admire and respect us can still find our quirks, well, quirky. But ultimately, this triple filter test, it wasn't about achieving some perfect state of communication, was it?
Exactly. The book drives home the point that it's more about intention and direction. Like, are we striving to be more truthful, kind, and thoughtful in how we communicate? That's the heart of it.
Which makes me think, this isn't just an ancient philosophy lesson. This is relevant to how we live today. We're bombarded with information, opinions flying at us from all directions. How do we filter the noise in our modern world?
That is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And while we might not have togas in the agora, the core challenges of communication remain remarkably consistent.
So how do we apply the spirit of the triple filter test, that desire for a more thoughtful conversation, to our modern lives?
That's where things get really interesting, because the book doesn't just leave us in ancient Athens. It hints at how these filters, truth, goodness, usefulness, can be applied to everything from navigating the news to having better relationships.
Okay, so how do we take something that worked for gossiping Athenians and make it work for us? This sounds like a deep dive for another day, but for now, let's get back to the book. You were saying something about how it explored the tension between seeking truth and seeking entertainment. It's that age-old battle, isn't it? Our brains want the truth, but our hearts, sometimes they just want a good story.
And the book really captures that push and pull. On one hand, you've got Socrates, this champion for truth, always pushing for deeper meaning. But then on the flip side, it shows just how much the Athenians loved a juicy rumor, even if it was a little embellished, let's say.
Oh, absolutely. Who hasn't gotten sucked into a good gossip session, even when you know you probably shouldn't? It's human nature.
Exactly. And I think the book acknowledges that. It's not about becoming these perfectly filtered beings devoid of any fun or spontaneity. It's more about recognizing when those desires for truth, for entertainment, are at odds with each other, and then making a conscious choice about which one to prioritize in that moment.
So it's not about aiming for perfection, but more about awareness, knowing when to hit the brakes and apply those filters and when to just, you know, enjoy the ride.
You got it. And maybe even more importantly, recognizing that we're not going to get it right all the time. Even in ancient Athens, with Socrates leading the charge, the book shows how people still struggled to put this triple filter test into practice perfectly. There were misunderstandings, awkward silences, even arguments. They were human, just like us.
You know, it's kind of comforting in a weird way. It makes those philosophical giants like Socrates feel a little more relatable, a little less intimidating.
Right. It's like, okay, even Socrates messed up sometimes. Maybe I don't have to be so hard on myself.
Exactly. And that's what I love about this book. It emphasizes that it's those very imperfections, those moments of stumbling and course correcting, that make our journey towards more thoughtful communication so much more interesting.
It's not about reaching some finish line, right? It's about the process, the constant learning and growing.
So instead of beating ourselves up every time we say something without thinking, we can approach these situations with a little more, I don't know, grace, humor.
Exactly. It's about progress, not perfection. And I think that's such an important message, especially now when it's so easy to get caught up in this pressure to present this perfectly curated version of ourselves online.
Oh, it's true. Social media makes it so easy to fall into that trap, doesn't it? Like, we always have to have the perfect response, the wittiest comment.
It's exhausting. But this book, it reminds us that real growth, real change, it takes time, it takes effort, and it's probably going to be a little messy along the way.
We're allowed to stumble, to make mistakes. The important thing is that we learn from them.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah.
And maybe we can even learn to laugh at ourselves a little along the way, too.
A little philosophical self-deprecation never hurt anyone. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Socrates and the triple filter test, I think the biggest takeaway for me is this. It shouldn't feel like a burden, this whole idea of filtering our words. It should be an opportunity, a chance for growth, for deeper connection, and maybe even a little bit of self-discovery.
That's beautifully put. It's about approaching our conversations with a little more intention, a little more kindness, and who knows, maybe even a little more fun.
Because at the end of the day, even Socrates, champion of truth, that he understood the power of a good story. He knew that words, when used thoughtfully, have the ability to entertain, to educate, and to bring people together.
Exactly. It's a powerful reminder that some challenges, they're timeless.
Yeah.
We may not be debating philosophy in togas anymore, but we're still figuring out how to communicate, how to truly connect, and how to make our words matter.
And maybe, just maybe, those three little filters, truth, goodness, usefulness, can help us do just that. So until next time, keep those filters handy, and let's all strive for conversations that are a little truer, a little kinder, and maybe even a little more useful.
I'll definitely drink that.
Cheers to that. And thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time for another adventure into the world of ideas.